This podcast is for mature audiences only. Adult content, language, and themes may be used and referenced. Listen at your own discretion.
Ass bitch, tap in. Tap in. Diamonds dancing on your neck, nigga, tap in. Tap in.
Yeah.
Fucking nigga, get rich, bitch.
Tap in. Tap in.
MLB, icy gang, nigga.
Tap in. Hey, where my queens at? Tap in. Hey, yeah. Welcome to episode 3 of the Black Girls Bible. Tap in. Yes, we are tapped in. Make sure that you share this podcast with a fellow queen, king, brother, or sister so they can tap in too, okay? So they can get this good word on today. We are coming to you today. We're going to talk about how do we come to a place of healing within ourselves? How can we elevate? I saw this quote that I love. Well, I guess I didn't see it. I saw it, heard it in a YouTube video. But it says, consciousness can only expand. It can't go backward. And I thought that was so profound because it speaks to the testament of once you know something, you can't unknow it, right? So on this episode of Black Girls Bible, we're going to discuss all the things that we know, and no matter how hard we try to unknow them or push them to the side or forget, they're not going anywhere. So let's just face the truth and face what we know, right? So when we talk about consciousness can only expand, it can't go backwards. You can only grow the things that you know. Like if I tell you the sky is blue, and one day you look out and it's like a pink purple mix blend, you're gonna know that the sky is also blue. You're going to know that, but you're also going to know it can additionally be a pink, purple mixed blend, right? So once you know something, you can only add to it. I guess I like that so much because it speaks to the, I guess, belief or idea, depending on how you feel, that there's no such thing as a mistake. There's no such thing as doing something wrong. And I guess a part of that comes with understanding that even when you make a mistake or mess up, it's the right thing that needs to happen for your growth and evolution. So I know, like, speaking for myself and others that may have grown up under certain beliefs, believing that there are things you can do that make mistakes. You know, there's conscious, cognitive decisions that can be made that can be wrong or detrimental to who you are. And while that's true to an extent, mistakes are only going to happen in order to help you push past the level of where you're at right now. So for example, if you cheat on a test, right? You guys should know I'm a teacher. So if there's a student cheating on the test, why are they cheating? There's probably two reasons. Either they're lazy and don't want to like take the test, or they're just copying someone else's answer, or more likely, they don't know the answer, so they're looking for it from someone else. Regardless, is cheating right? No, it's wrong, but the mistake is necessary for me as a teacher to like see it and catch them and realize they don't know what's going on. And it's necessary for them to realize, how did I get to this point in my learning that I don't know what's going on in this test? So there's no such thing as a mistake. There's no such thing as doing something wrong, but there are such things as learning experiences, right? So you can have a learning experience. The key is you don't want to keep learning the same thing over and over and over again. Some of y'all, because I would say us, but I wasn't in that category, some of y'all got held back in certain grades. Even kindergarten, up to possibly even 12th grade. And a lot of y'all, if you could hold people back in college, that'd be what it called. But you just had to redo the classes to make your credit. Those are learning experiences. You had to redo that course, relearn that information until you mastered it. That's the same thing in life when we make what most people would call a mistake. It's a learning experience. You clearly haven't mastered money management. You clearly haven't mastered emotional regulation. You clearly haven't mastered effective communication. That's why you have to keep going through trial and error to figure it out. So when we talk about making mistakes, it's like there's no such thing as a mistake, because once you master and learn the lesson, you evolve and move past that. It's almost as if you can only make a mistake if you're consciously aware of the actions and behaviors that you're displaying and make a choice to like do the opposite of what you already have learned. That's like the only way there could really be like a mistake, right? Because if you don't know what you don't know, then you have to learn it. And once you learn it, your consciousness can only expand. It can't shrink or go backwards. If you choose to shrink it yourself, then that's like self-sabotage. And you know, that's a whole different topic. We'll get onto that. But when it comes to like being down and being hard on yourself for making what one would call a mistake, you have to be gracious. That sounded weird when I said it, but you know, whatever. You have to have a little bit of grace for yourself to realize we are all on our own journey of learning, and some of us are going to have to repeat a lesson over and over and over again for it to stick. Now, that also goes to say, if you want to learn the lesson, right? So in certain relationships, we'll use that as an example. You have people that are with others that are super toxic for them, like, you know, domestic violence, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, things of that nature. And they may go seek help from the police. They may go seek help from a counselor, therapist, family member. You know, they may try to rebuild their life without the person that is abusive to them. And what happens? In 2-3 months, they back together. That's a choice. That person would rather learn the lesson the hard way, right, of not knowing their worth, than taking time to discover their worth, even though it might be more difficult. And I think that's, you know, it's to each his own. To each his own. Everybody's not ready for this journey of how do you heal? How do you evolve into the next version of your best self? And a part of that is understanding that you have to be accepting and forgiving of yourself for everything that you've done to get you to this moment. Some people hold a lot of baggage onto their life, onto themselves, because of things they've done in the past that cannot be changed. Like anything you've done prior to this moment is likely not going to be undone. So what's the point in dwelling on it? The only thing you can do is alternate your behavior or mindset in the future so that you don't make the same errors, right? That's when it becomes a mistake. So you don't continue the same thing over and over and over again. Just like there, in my opinion, are no such thing as mistakes, it's almost the same as no such thing as coincidences, because everything really, like literally happens for a reason. Every person you meet, every place you go, I look at the clock, it's 12:12 right now. Everything happens for a reason. And just for these purposes, and I love seeing 12:12 because like, what does 12:12 mean? According to Google, angel number 12:12 symbolizes your spiritual growth and awakening, manifestation of your dreams, and awareness of your infinite being. You should continue to remain positive, frame of mind, and steer your thoughts in the direction of your dominant ambition. That's what I'm talking about. There's no such thing as mistakes, because even for example, this podcast, it's 12:12. I typically do not record this late, but things happen during the day and my time was not managed in the way I typically do. So I could have said, nah, I'm not going to record this podcast, but I said, no, I'm going to still go ahead and record, because I know I have things to say. I know that there are things people want to hear, and that's what I have on my to-do list. And in recording, seeing a synchronicity like that lets me know there was no mistake in the way my day went out. in the way my day played out, right? There was no mistake in that. It was, everything was divinely aligned and intended for it to happen in the way it did. So there's, when we say things like that's such a coincidence, is it? Or is it divine alignment and divine timing? For people who have, you know, a belief and a faith, in which I strongly encourage everyone to, that's when you get to that point of understanding to say, okay, so even when things seem to be going quote unquote wrong, they're actually going exactly how they're supposed to be because the pieces have to be put down for the puzzle to be put together, right? So even think about that in the transition. You don't, number one, get a puzzle out the box that's put together, right? And number two, you don't get a puzzle out the box and the pieces are like gently placed on the table. You take that puzzle box open, you throw the pieces down, and that's a transitional period. And that kind of goes to my next point, because that's, even though it's a blink of an eye, it still takes time for you to get the pieces out the box, pieces of the puzzle out the box, onto the table, flipped onto the right side. You separate like your corners and your edges from your center pieces, right? And then you finally get to start putting the puzzle together. And then you have a masterpiece at the end. That, all that process is similar to how life works. And while we could describe it pretty fast, like take off the puzzle box, flip it over, time, how fast that happens, right? How we can just open up a puzzle box like that. That's like literally how our life works. We feel like this life is so long, and you know, time, and it's so crazy because we'll be quick to say, man, time sure does fly, but feel like we have all the time in the world to make our dreams happen or to accomplish something. And it's like, which one is it? Does time fly, or do we have a lot of time on this earth? And so it's the concept of time is kind of not relative, because even when you think about spiritually, God, our 40 years is an hour to God, right? Hypothetically speaking, right? Thinking scientifically, we are how many light years from the next planet or from the sun or from the moon or wherever? And when you think about light years, how many human years are light years? Because 7 dog years is 1 human year. So how many human years is a light year? So by the time I get to Jupiter, am I going to be 127 years old? Like, time, it's so hard to conceptualize. Even when you think about time zones, why, if we're all on the same, like even in the same state, like in the state of Texas, there's 2 time zones. The closer you get west, like towards El Paso, the time zone changes. In a state like Arizona, they don't even practice daylight savings. So the concept of time is even a construct that's a little bit fuzzy and muddled, because how can you just switch a clock back and suddenly say, now it's 2 a.m. again? Well, did the earth stop rotating at the same speed? Did the sun suddenly come up a little bit sooner? No, we just changed our clocks. And so now we control time and we can't create time. Those things don't really go together. So step one to healing, I say all that to say this. Step one is to be open. Be open to how your life is going. Have trust and faith that your timing, right, is your timing. Your year 40, and this is probably on the internet somewhere like a meme, because I feel like I've seen it before. Your year 40 can be the same as somebody else's year 20. And your year 20 can be the same as somebody else's year 50, right? It does, time is not relative in the context of survival, taking care of life, because unfortunately, there are certain people that don't even make it to have an adult mindset to think, what do I want to do with life? So if you are blessed with the opportunity to be in your right frame of mind as an adult, don't confine yourself to a box called time. You've made it this far. Take off full speed ahead. Keep going. Don't say, well, I don't have time. I got, and let time give you anxiety and let time freak you out. If anything, you should be able to know, all right, well, I've had enough time to make it to an adult, so I guess I'm here for a reason. everything has happened in your life up until this point for a reason and for a purpose. Now, the key is to ask yourself why. And that even means the things that you don't really want to think about, the things you don't want to talk about, the dark, scary parts. That's where the true healing begins. People don't want to wonder, you know, why did my parents leave me, or why was I abandoned or rejected or abused? Why? Because number one, it forces there to be some type of accountability. And you maybe, let's say it's a parent, you know, that left you as a child. Some type of genetic code, we always want to see the best in especially our loved ones. We always want to see the best in our people, in our family. So thinking about why other people do the things they do is only going to cause more frustration, because at the end of the day, people are going to people, whether they're parents, whether they're employers, whether they're friends, whoever they are, people are going to people. And I think about this a lot. Most parents are running this show off trial and error. They don't know what they're doing or what's going on. They may have gotten the book. Did they read it? And if so, does the book specifically tell them how to parent you and how they should parent in their specific situation? No, that's a pamphlet on how not to kill your kid, right? But how to parent, how to rear, how to, you know, build, how to have a relationship with your child. Those are things you have to learn from trial and error. You can take advice, you can get insight, but it's going to be unique for every person in every situation. Every dynamic is going to be different. So you really have to address those parts of you that you don't want to talk about. And of course, it's always great to seek professional help when you're doing these type of things. Going to a therapist, a counselor, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a spiritual advisor, a pastor, someone that has experience, if not expertise in professionalism, working with people that experience a variety of life situations. So once you get to the place of ready to kind of clear the clutter in those dark corners of your life and work your way through the woe is me situation. And, you know, you have to be careful when you say that, because you don't want to demean or degrade anyone's life experiences. But there comes a certain point in time where you have to say, you know what? I'm not going to say woe is me. It's going to be, wow, it's me. You know, I'm not going to continue to let life beat me up. I'm going to get back in the ring and I'm going to start swinging. And life doesn't know who's coming for it. It's me. You have to take charge. You have to take life by the horns, because most of us know, based on experience, life, when they say life is not fair, they meant that literally. Life does its own thing. And unless you tell life what you want it to do, life is going to do what it does. So there are things beyond your realm of control, things beyond your scope of influence that probably impacted all of us, right, to a certain degree. But what you can control, what you can accept, what you can release, do that. And the things that you're struggling to follow through with, see how you can break those blockages. Do you need professional help? Do you need to take a new approach? Do you need to try new patterns and behaviors? What is it? Because most importantly, it's kind of about who are you connecting with to help you work through these things. To get through to your healing, you really, it's hard to do it on your own. You really should have someone that's going to come in, have your back, support you, be there for you. I think about some of the most difficult things I've gone through in my life that affected me in a major way. You know, heartache, right? Heartbreak, losing a friend. And when I say losing a friend, I mean like betrayal, backstabbing, being publicly humiliated. I'll be vulnerable for a second right now and share that. I don't know about anybody else, I can speak for myself, but being publicly humiliated is one of my like triggers. Like that, if someone even tries to publicly humiliate me, that is like a huge trigger for me. And to be publicly humiliated, which has happened to me before, that gets me just so up in arms. So when you think about what your triggers are, when you think about those things, you want to think about who in your circle can hold you accountable to assessing and addressing your process of healing. I was having a conversation with my best friend recently, and we were just talking, and she was explaining to me how she rekindled a friendship with an old, somewhat mutual friend from middle school, right? Because we grew up together. And I'm like laughing. So I'm like, that's so random. That's like if I just picked a kid in the yearbook and just decided to like hit up on Facebook. And, you know, I'm laughing it off. And my friend goes on to tell me, she says, you know, this person really had an impact in my life. And you may have seen them in this light, but I saw them in a totally different light based on our interactions. And that piece of accountability that my friend held me to say, like, you know, you can't just be talking about people because just because you don't have that experience doesn't define who they are, helped me to be reflective in my own journey, in my own perceptions, in my own, you know, operation. So when you're going through healing, you want to be around people that can gently nudge you to that place of uncomfort or discomfort, excuse me, to where you can address the things you need to address to elevate. Something about me as well, I like having uncomfortable conversations. I like talking about the things that people typically don't like to talk about, that people typically just want to brush under the rug or laugh off. No, let's not laugh. Let's be serious. Let's see. And, you know, that's not everybody's approach, but that's just something about me. You want to make sure that you're on the right ship to get you to your destination. If your destination is healing, you should probably not be on a ship with people who are keeping you in behaviors that reopen old wounds. If your destination is to evolve, you know, physically, spiritually, you probably shouldn't be on the same ship as people who are feeding into your previous habits. Your ship is going to determine your location. Your ship will determine your destination. And what kind of ship are you on? Are you on a ship that's going to help you heal, survive, thrive, or evolve? If not, you need to jump off and you'd be better off swimming on your own. When I think about my friendship that I mentioned being like betrayed, I think about if that hadn't have happened, where would I be right now? You know, they say birds of a feather flock together and you are who you associate with. And the person who I was associating with wasn't necessarily the best reflection and representation of who I would see myself as being. But we can't help who we love, right? So that was my friend. I think about how I was betrayed and stabbed in the back and publicly humiliated by a person that I was vulnerable with and trusted, right? And while that did hurt, I think back and I'm thankful because I say without that, I couldn't have jumped ship. Where would that ship have taken me? I had to jump ship and I wasn't jumping ship. I got pushed overboard, but for good reason. Same thing with some relationships. One of my exes to this day still calls me to ask for advice in his new relationship. We are no longer in the same boat, buddy. You gotta figure it out. Because when you're asking me for advice, sounds like you're talking about the same problems and issues we had when we were in a relationship. Why would I want to keep talking about that? You got me fooled, friend. But I had to jump ship on that relationship. Sometimes we have to realize when it's time to jump ship on people. If they are not helping us heal, if they are bringing up our past so-called mistakes, if they're reminding us, oh, you are not on this timeline, you're not meeting these, you know, time expectations, that's probably not someone you want to be on in a destination with, on a boat to a destination with. You want to be in a friendship with people that are going to hold you accountable and support you, but also, you know, motivate you and encourage you. They're going to let you know your worth, especially that type of mindset in a relationship. And it seems like a lot of people are willing to, the word settle down resonates with me. I'll sidebar this really quickly. I don't believe in settling down. Number one, I don't believe in settling. And number two, I don't believe in lowering myself or standards for anything. So settling down seems like a term that people use when they feel like they should be doing something that society expects them to do, like not being 30 and like partying or, you know, having a kid, even if you can't realistically financially afford one. So to me, I don't like to say settling down. I like to say leveling up. So when it comes time to level up with your person, you want to be with a person where that actually is applicable, where you actually will level up and not settle down, right? And that's the same thing with friendships. You want to be friends with people that are bosses like you, people that have a same mindset as you, people that, you know, have the same values as you. You don't want to be going out with people that don't save money if you know you're trying to build generational wealth and all they want to do is spend their money every weekend buying sections and tables at the club pre-COVID. Well, hell, don't get me wrong, during COVID, because I've been seeing some people literally out every single day and night. I'm like, I get it, but dang, every single day and night? But you know, live your life, child. That's just making me concerned. But anywho, you want to be attached to people that have the same values as you, and that's a key example. That person, our friendship probably wouldn't last because our values are different. I value my health and my safety, and from the looks of your social media, you don't. You want to be in relationship with people that have the same vision as you, that are going to the same destination. What's the point in being in a relationship with someone that you can't be vulnerable with? Like, hello, that does not make sense. You also have to think about partnerships, and everything is an energy exchange, even business. So you want to make sure that even in business dealings, you are partnering with someone that has integrity, that has values, that has morals. You know, they say money has no color. I mean, money only has one color, but all money ain't good money, right? So while money sees no color but green, when the green behind the money is envy, when the green behind the money is greed, you want to make sure that that is not an exchange of energy that you're engaging in. So in a partnership, if some, you know, I thought about this as an entrepreneur and just businesswoman, the more partnerships, the better, you know, network, network, network. But everyone's intentions are not good. Everyone does not have your best intention at hand with everything going on as far as like moving to a digital age. The scamming right now is going through the roof. And so you have to be careful who you even partnership with, right? Where is this ship going? Is you about to ship me off to the bank so you can steal my money on my account? Or are we about to ship and sail our way on the Forbes? Okay, like you need to be knowing these things. Right now it made me think about the story of Jonah and how Jonah was running from God, and he goes and he's like, you know what, I'm about to get out of here because God want me to do some stuff and I ain't even trying to do it, so I'm about to go. And so Jonah gets on this ship, and the ship is going the opposite direction of where he is supposed to be going, right? But Jonah's like, you know, I know I'm supposed to be going to the left, but I'm going to the right because I'm not trying to do what God said. And so long story short, you know, Jonah's on this boat, and then there's a huge storm in the sea, and everybody on the boat like, why is God so mad? Because it wasn't a, like, regular storm, it was like a God storm, like, you know the difference, like, oh, it's raining. And then it's like, oh no, this is like a supernatural type of rain. So that's what was happening. So then they go wake up Jonah, and they know something sketchy because Jonah in the bottom of the boat sleep. Any normal person that know God is not mad at you like that, they're not going to be at the bottom of the boat asleep in the middle of like chaos and turmoil. So it was like, oh, nah, player Jonah, you got to get up. Like, we know it's you. So they roll some dice. They call it casting lots, right? So they shook up some dice. And, it's interesting because we'll get to this topic in another episode. But how in the Bible, they were straight using divination tools like you know, casting lots and things that would be considered modern day, quote unquote, witchcraft. But anyway, so they cast the lots, they rolled the dice, showed that it was Jonah. And it was like, oh, no, player, you gotta go. And Jonah was like, yeah, I actually knew it was me, but whatever. So they threw Jonah overboard, and all of a sudden, as he's overboard, the storm stopped and the ship was able to go to its destination. My point to say that, in case you don't know the story, Jonah, you know, the story says he got eaten by a big fish or a whale, survived 3 days, and the whale spit him out on the land of where he was actually supposed to be. So, I love the Bible. I love the stories in it. Some of them seem, you know, a little bit of hyperbole, but I don't question it because I've seen some things in my own day that are questionable. And so I'm like, well, if I've seen some questionable things with my own eyes, who knows what could have happened, because y'all believe in dinosaurs but don't want to believe in Jesus. Y'all believe in dinosaurs but don't want to believe that somebody could get eaten by a fish. So, you know, I'm the type of person that say I believe in it all. I believe in it all. Dinosaurs, alien, people eating fish, all of it, because I believe in God, and God is limitless and infinite, and, you know, he can do whatever. So the point of that story, to get back on track, was the ship, okay? And no matter where you're supposed to go in life, you need to know if it's time to jump ship, otherwise you will be pushed off the ship, okay? And then if that's not the case, when you get to that destination of where you're not supposed to be, you're going to be going through a literal hell because you're not even supposed to be there. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and I was telling her, sometimes it could be that you cause certain turmoil and chaos on yourself because you do a lot of busy work in the spiritual realm, and when it catches up to you in the physical, because for all my people that are spiritual and those that may not know, things first happen in the spiritual before they happen in the physical, right? So when you pray about something, that's why the Bible says, you know, praise as if it's done, because once you pray, it's just all it takes is you putting it in the mail. But once it gets to God and he return it back to you, it's done. It just is the exchange of energy. Once again, you know, you got to put it out and wait for it to return to you. We as humans are so obsessed with instant gratification. The minute I pray or say or ask or do something, it should happen. But we know that that's typically not our reality. So when we are sitting here, like playing in different fields and areas of our lives, both spiritually and physically, we have to be prepared for the outcome. And we have to be prepared to move at any given time, because if we jump in on ship to ship to ship, we need to make sure that we are end up on the ship that's taking us to the right destination. Okay? So it can be hard. It can be hard because the reality is the older we get, the more grown we get, the more life evolves, the more people's directions and paths change. And the more you have to say, it's time for me to jump ship, even though I've been on this ship for a long time, maybe 10 years, maybe since middle school. But at this point in time, this ship is no longer taking me to my destination. I got to get out of here. And that's really the part that I think a lot of people find hard to do and say, to say and also to do. And from my experience, it wasn't until I get pushed off of ships, like out of relationships and friendships and even like partnerships, because there's been some partnerships that I've lost or missed out on. And it took losing or those opportunities and those relationships for me to realize, oh, that's why that had to happen, because that was no longer my destination. It's like when you are using your GPS. If you live in Houston, you'll totally get what I'm saying. When you go in on the freeway and you're on 288 and you hit that new 610-288 cluster mess, your GPS, for a while, my GPS hadn't updated. So it was telling me if I wanted to go 610 West, I was all the way in the 288 South line. And I got a Tokyo drift slab across traffic because I'm no longer on the way to my destination. And I don't feel like driving 37 minutes out my way because I'm on 288 South and I'm trying to get 610 West. Only my Houstonians will probably get what I'm talking about. But y'all know what I'm talking about. It's the same thing. Once your GPS realizes, hey, this route is no longer taking you to your destination, you need to go this way, you need to listen to that GPS, because otherwise, although time is a construct, all you're going to be doing is adding more, but elongating the process to get to your destination, right? Because if I miss my exit on the freeway and I have to take a detour, it's typically not a shortcut. Typically, it's taking me more out of the way than I intended to go. And some people do that their whole life. And that's their choice. But if you're choosing to live a life of purpose, if you're choosing to live a life of intention, if you're choosing to live a life that is beyond just being, you know, someone's spouse or someone's parent, and you have a life that you want to have impact and improve the quality of living for your loved ones and others, you have to make sure that you're on the right ships to get you to that destination. Because it's not going to get you there in no paddle boat by yourself. You have to be in partnership with someone, fellowship with others, relationship at minimum with the creator. So at least you know what direction you should be going in. It's a lot. It's a lot. I can't lie. However, healing is like the root and the key component to getting to the place where we can go beyond just surviving and we can get to thriving. And right now for the Black community, we're moving out of this place of survival. And while a lot of people still are there, we more so collectively, the majority, that 80%, are moving into the thriving and evolving stage of life. We had to survive so long, and I really don't even want to get into it, but just I have to pay respect and homage to the ancestors who endured slave ships. Like I saw, I don't even know if it's a real picture or a digitally remastered picture or whatever, but just even to think about the condition, you know, this was like pre-Titanic. I just watched the Titanic today, and even that cruise ship was decent. You know, it had the ballroom and you had all kinds of liveliness. Nah, fam, this was before that. And we talking about slave ships. It ain't no entertainment and open bar and a Lido deck. This is people chained, seasickness, menstrual cycles, bowel movements, death, right? Probably diseases pre-smallpox. I don't know what other diseases could have happened. If not diseases, then infections, right? So there's a lot of things to consider about the torture and the tragedy of how slavery and enslavement started here in America. So thinking about that spiritual evolution, we are at a place right now as a community where we are now like we're coming for everything that we have earned, everything that we fought for, everything that we've endured. We are coming back for what is rightfully ours. And in order to get to that place that we can be full of abundance, in order to get to that place where we can be open to where the windows of heaven are pouring us out blessings and we don't have the room to receive it, we have to make room by clearing out that baggage, those blockages, those restrictions, those constraints, and that is through healing. We can't bring in blessings and bring in abundance and bring in prosperity if we're sitting and dwelling in depression and anxiety and fear and sorrow, right? We have to clear out that baggage. We have to clear out those spaces of disappointment and jealousy and envy and whatever else, you know, may be unique to you, so that we can get to the place where, okay, I'm not leaning on any crutch, right? I'm not leaning on my past. I'm not leaning on any person. I can survive and I am whole and I am enough and I am healing, right? Then once we get the surviving down, like I don't need to be in a toxic relationship to survive. I actually can be single. Some people really think they'll die if they'll be single. They'd rather be in a toxic relationship or situation than be single. That is not living. Some people would rather be at a job that they hate with people that they can't stand than to follow their dreams. That's not thriving. That is surviving. And that is not what we have to settle for. You know, I just told y'all about settling. We don't settle. We level. Leveling up means that we don't survive. We thrive. That means survival is, that's done. That's guaranteed. God got that. Because look what our ancestors went through. If we are meant to survive, there's no question about that. The thriving piece comes in when we're so comfortable and content knowing our blessings, knowing our birthright, knowing what we deserve. We are able to thrive and then therefore evolve into our best and most highest self, evolve into the person that we were actually created and placed on this earth to be, our full purpose. Some people's purpose, you know, is buried so deep down under childhood trauma. Some people's purpose is buried so deep down under rejection, under resentment, under bitterness, under jealousy. If they just moved all that stuff out the way, they would find their purpose and find joy, happiness, peace, abundance, wealth. Your purpose is not going to be an Instagram celebrity. Your purpose is not going to be B. Simone, right? Your purpose is not going to be Cardi B. That's their purpose. That's why you know them. That's why the names I mentioned, you know who they are because they walked in their purpose. Now, whether it was scamming, sis, I got to stop bringing up B. Simone name before somebody like drag me and say I'm trying to troll her. But she gets good content. Regardless if your purpose is learning lessons through scamming, right? Regardless if your purpose is showing others how even being your most true, ratchet, authentic self will get you places that being fake, phony will never get you. Like, even in conversations about politics, talking about Cardi B right now, and nobody would give that woman her credit that she, you know, they would think that she's should be in those type of conversations and rooms, but she proved them wrong by walking in her purpose. So knowing your purpose is going to be a key to evolving to your higher self. But you're not going to be able to find your purpose until you clear out the nooks, the crannies, the corners, the cobwebs, and all that junk and gunk that's buried deep down inside your physical body, spiritual body, mental body, and emotional body. Once you're able, look at that. Okay, pop off then. Am I getting some new followers? Period, boo. It's on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Dr. Seymour. Okay. Anyway. But once you clear out that baggage on all aspects of your existence, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and, you know, even financial, right? Because money is currency too. You'll be able to get to the place of like, okay, I can live. Like, I can live without this person. I can live without this thing. I can live without this routine. I can live in any state, in any capacity. I can live. And not only can I live, I can do it well. And I can live in luxury. And I can live in happiness. And I can live in peace. And I can live in comfort. And now, not only can I do that, I can help others do it. That's how you go from healing to surviving, to thriving, to evolving. But you got to make sure you're on the right ship. Get around some people that are going to keep it real with you, that are going to allow you to be vulnerable and will be vulnerable back with you. Get you, and not, when I say keep it real, it doesn't mean that they're just like telling you that real, but they're also giving you support and advice and encouragement, listening to you and reciprocating, you know? Otherwise, you might as well go pay for a therapist, like in real life, if it's not going to be like 100% reciprocal. You have to make sure that the ship that you're on is taking you to your destination, because you on somebody else's ship and gonna be mad when they get to destination and you're like, well, how come their life is so great and mine isn't? Because they was on the right ship. You worried about their life instead of be worried about yours. Get on your ship and you wouldn't have these problems. So with that being said, we are getting ready to experience another potential wave of COVID. We are getting ready to go back into quarantine more than likely. And there's been, you know, memes and stuff going around. It's like, if you left quarantine without a new skill or hobby, what was you doing with your time? And a part of me strongly agrees, right? I'm like, first of all, I don't think y'all should be outside the way some of y'all is outside. It's making me very concerned, but that's your business, child. It's not mine. But second of all, as we potentially prepare to go into round two of the quarantine, maybe if you're not focusing on like a hobby or a skill or a business, focus on your healing. Focus on you. Don't get on social media for like a whole day and see what thoughts go through your mind. Journal a whole day and see what you write down. Call loved ones, call family members and have a conversation with them, even if it's uncomfortable. And see how that works. See where that gets you. Because it doesn't make sense to this all this time where, like, this is a perfect example of time being a construct, because the months are still going and things are still happening, but people aren't really like going to work and they're not necessarily like getting up at the same time. Like, the world is definitely changing and shifting. And as we continue to shift and recalibrate into what a lot of people are referring to as our new normal, how are you going to fit into it? Are you going to go into it the same person you were? Or are you going to go into it a person that is healed, that is evolved, and that is on the right ship for their destination? You got to decide what you want to do, boo. You going to mold or you going to mildew? I would love to connect with you on any of these topics or anything that may come across your mind. Please feel free to follow me on Instagram at @missintelligent_. Once again, I'll plug my Twitter at Dr. Seymour, S-E-E-M-O-R-E, Dr. Seymour. And of course, here on Anchor, subscribe. And if you have the Anchor app, you are able to leave me a voice message and it could just get played in one of the future episodes. So check it out. And I look forward to this conversation. I look forward to healing. I look forward to the elevation and the evolution that's happening within our collective. It makes me excited. And I just want everyone to catch the wave, because once you miss that wave, you gotta wait for the next one to come around, and it's just not gonna always be the same. So let's heal together. Let's do more than survive. Let's thrive. Let's evolve. And let's get on the ship to our destiny and our purpose. So we'll do our breathing exercise right now. Deep breath in. Exhale. Deep breath in. Exhale. Deep breath in. Exhale. Today's affirmation: I am worthy. I am enough. I am capable. I have a purpose. I am successful. I will be successful. I am healed. I am thriving. I am evolving. And I'm always vibrating at a high frequency. Shout out to my man at All About Wisdom 365 for that gem. Check him out on Instagram. He has great content. Again, I just saw 1212. So I love alignment, and I love you all for supporting and listening. Please feel free to show me some love on any of the social networks. Feel free to donate to the podcast to build the brand and to keep these messages coming. So until next time, I love you. Stay safe, be blessed, and get on the right ship. I'll see you at the finish line.